Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to another episode of the MaxCost. I am your host, Dr. Josiah Rich, and in this morning's episode, our topic is Paul as the exhibit, the model of grace action in the church age. We began this study a while ago in Acts chapter 9, in which we are given a summary of the conversion of Saul, who became the great Apostle Paul. Undoubtedly, the greatest intellectual of church history. And we have presented evidence as to who he was prior to his conversion. And he himself, in his letter to the Galatians and in 1 Timothy and 1 Corinthians 15 and other passages, talks about who he was. And I want to bring out this compelling evidence as to who Saul was before his conversion, because I think we need to revisit grace and understand grace action. It is built, or grace action, I should say, is built upon the historic sacrifice of the Jesus on Calvary in 33 A.D. It was he who opened the door of salvation for all mankind. John 3:16 tells us that, "For God so loved the world that he gave as a gift his one and only begotten Son, that whosoever," and that word is so important for us, "that whosoever." And so that word in itself tosses out exclusivism, classism, racism, economic privilege, political privilege and connections. Everything is bypassed in that great word, "that whosoever believes in him should not die, but have eternal life." Peter lets us know that we receive God's own life. Paul lets us know that we receive the life of Christ himself, the Zoe, the spiritual life that we are given is the life of Christ himself. Christ, our life, are the words of Paul. Christ, our life. And so the emphasis there is upon God as the subject. And we are the recipients, or we are the objects of the action of God. In his writings, Paul will use Christ Jesus or Jesus Christ almost 400 times. Almost 400 times. And so we are given insight into his thinking. after his conversion. In Galatians chapter 1, he tells us that after some time he went away in order to understand, in order to study, in order to ruminate and meditate on the divine revelation that had been vouchsafed into his care. Paul's life had been completely given over to the Aces. I am crucified with Christ. And one will read in the letters of Paul the prefix soon on the words, some of the words that he uses in order to emphasize this relationship with Christ, this new being, this new entity, this new relationship. And so Paul would not be caught living the life of the flesh while voicing spiritual words. Paul would not be that type of individual. Paul would walk the talk. Amen? He would walk the talk. He would live the message of the gospel. For me to live is Christ, verb being. Let me say at this point that in the Greek New Testament, there are very few passive verbs. One passive verb that is given to us is be filled with the Spirit. Be filled with the Spirit. But Paul's personality was dynamic and persuasive. Paul's personality was compelling. Paul not only preached the gospel, Paul embodied the cross. He wanted to glorify Jesus in his body. Paul wanted to glorify Jesus in the most powerful way so that all men might understand the grace that had been given to him. I'm going to be reading from 1 Timothy chapter 1. And this is what Paul writes beginning at verse 12. He is giving his testimony. He is speaking about what God had done for him. And please note carefully that there's no ego stroking on the part of Paul. It is all about the grace of God. Notice this language. This is 1 Timothy chapter 1, beginning at verse 12. And I thank Christ Jesus, our Lord, who hath enabled me, very powerful word in the Greek text, who hath enabled me. It is an aorist, a participle active in the Greek, who hath enabled me, for that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry, who was before, notice the language, who was before a blasphemer and a persecutor and injurious. In the Greek text, this word is very interesting, this word injurious. It is the word hubristen, from which we get our English word hubris. So Paul says that he was violently, this word means to be violently arrogant. So here, in these three words, Paul tells us something about who he was. He said, he writes, who was before a blasphemer. And so this is an adjective. And, of course, persecutor, this word here, this word is a noun. And the essence of this word, persecutor, means to pursue. Paul will say that all who will live in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. Was not he himself a model of that? And now he writes about what it means to follow Christ. And when Paul states that all who will live in Christ, who will live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution, he literally means to be hunted down as wild animals. And so in his, and he states this in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 12, yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. And the word there to suffer persecution is in the future past. Shall be hunted as wild beasts. Shall be hunted as wild beasts. God takes the prior experience of Paul as persecutor, and now on the other side, where Paul is now in Christ, Paul experiences what he had been doing to the church. And so we get to see through his writings, we get to understand the man and his relationship to Christ. We get a handle on the personality that has been renewed, the personality that has been made new through a genuine encounter with Jesus. So when you go back to 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 13, again, who was before a blasphemer and a persecutor and injurious, but I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. And the word there, unbelief, is apistia. It is without faith. That is, without being persuaded as to who God is and what he had done, apistia. So we take the word pistia and we add the alpha negative, or we put the Greek letter alpha at the front of it, and it negates the meaning of the word. So we have apistia. I did it ignorantly in unbelief. Verse 14, and the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant with faith and love. And the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant or superabundant with faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. And now the word faith is pistios without the alpha on the front. So now he has moved into that other sphere, that sphere of faith. He talks about the grace of God. And in verse 14 we have katas, which is a noun of action in the Greek. And we have pistios, which is also a noun of action in the Greek. And so also the word love, agape, is also a noun of action in the Greek text. So Paul was a recipient of God's grace action. It happened to him on the road to Damascus, or so it would seem. But long before the event on the road to Damascus, God had his eye on Paul. Or I should say, God had his eye on Saul's life. Even when he was persecuting and spoiling the church in unbelief and in ignorance, he was God's man. And even though he stood there and consented to the murder of the church's first martyr, Stephen, he was God's man. Paul will write of what God had done for him. Paul would write of the calling of God, the kaleo, the effective calling of God upon his life. And so, in his letter to the Galatians, Paul talks about his salvation. In Galatians chapter 1, Paul writes these words. Verse 11, Galatians 1:11. But I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man. This is verse 11. Euangelion that I preach was not of man, is not after man. Verse 12. For I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. And we see in these two verses something remarkable, something very powerful that we must note as we study Paul. The gospel message that had been vouchsafed to him, was given to him exclusively, was given to him by the Lord himself. One of the prerequisites for being an apostle was to see the Lord Jesus Christ himself. To see the Lord himself, 1 Corinthians 15. And here, Paul talks about his relationship. We have the book of Revelation, the last book of the New Testament, which is a companion book to the book of Daniel. And here, Paul talks about the revelation or the unveiling that was given to him. God unveiled his mind. God unveiled his plan to Paul. God unveiled the plan of his ministry and what God had for Paul to do. Verse 13, for you have heard of my conversation in time past, an old word that means life, in the Jews' religion, Judaism, how that beyond measure I persecuted, and there is that word again, I persecuted the church of God and wasted it, and profited in the Jews' religion above many of my equals in mine own nation, being more zealous, exceedingly zealous of the traditions of my fathers. But when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb, called me by his grace to reveal his son in me, that I might preach him, among the heathen or the ethnic. Immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood, neither went I up to Jerusalem to them which were apostles before me, but I went into Arabia, and then returned then unto Damascus. Then after 3 years I went up to Jerusalem to see Peter, and abode with him 15 days. But other of the apostles saw I none, save James, the Lord's brother. Now the things which I write unto you, behold, before God, I lie not. So Paul wants the churches in Galatia to know who he was in his life. He wanted them to know of the reality of the Spirit of God, the Spirit of God had accomplished in his life. Paul wanted these brothers and sisters to understand grace action in his life. And if you note carefully the language that Paul uses, there is this thirst, there is this necessity in his language to lay out before others who God is through Christ. This is Paul's manner to express in the most compelling terms, not through formal speeches, not through learned sophistry, but through his life, through his actions, through his missionary journeys. We know that there were three great missionary journeys, something that there were four or maybe even five great missionary journeys. But we know that there were at least three great missionary journeys. This man became the great pioneer of the church, the great pioneer in spreading the gospel. And along with that, there was great suffering in his life. Great suffering. But in Paul's mind, the message that he had, he will say in his letter to the Romans, that he is not ashamed of the gospel. He is not ashamed of his message. He is not ashamed of its content. He is not ashamed of its subject matter. He is not ashamed of this incredible message of what God had done. He would write, indeed, it is the power, it is the dunamis of God unto the salvation of the soul. The soul. Paul knew God had put him into the ministry exclusively for this reason, that every cell of his body, every neuron, every synapse in his brain would be used, would be dedicated to the glory of God revealed in Christ Jesus through the gospel. All fleshly ways would be crucified. Paul says, I am crucified with Christ. And he crucified the flesh with its affections and lusts. This is the great problem of the church today. The flesh, the sarks, has not been crucified in so many. But God chose Paul as his grace model. And Paul knew this. And there was no pride in this. Paul had walked down that path before. And so I return to 1 Timothy chapter 1. And in verse 15, Paul states, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. To save sinners. Harmatologs. The word sinners is an adjective in the Greek New Testament. To save sinners. And an adjective, what does what? An adjective describes action, behavior, characteristics. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Of whom I am chief. Protos, I me, ego. Protos, I me, ego. I am chief. Imagine that in a traditional service, someone standing up giving that testimony. Imagine that. Howbeit, for this cause I obtained mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all long-suffering in me first for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on him to life eternal. Hupotuposen. Hupotuposen. The word means to draw a sketch or an example. I've chosen the word exhibit for this particular podcast because I wanted to emphasize this aspect of the gospel in Christ, of the gospel of Christ Jesus in the life of Paul. Hupotuposen. For a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on him to eternal life. This is Paul's estimate of the grace of God in his life, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, and Paul writes, of whom I am chief. Our world today is so very lost, as you well know. Our world needs this gospel, needs this victory. Our world needs this people to post it. Are you ready to be that model, that example, that exhibit of the grace of God? My name is Dr. Cy Rich. I will speak with you next time on the Matacos. Have a wonderful day.